of July, once again, the world's attention was directed to Istanbul, Turkey, where Iranian and EU representatives met to discuss Iran's nuclear energy program. But contrary to all expectations, Iran's chief representative to the talks and his EU counterpart were nowhere to be found. The talks were held at the technical level and attended by deputies from both sides. The reason they gave was for the deputies to work out commonalities and set the stage for talks at the ambassadorial level. The program is an attempt to find out why an agreement over Iran's nuclear program has remained elusive and also the reason behind the latest decision. Istanbul hosted another round of nuclear talks on January 22, 2011, but they yielded no definitive results except for an exchange of pleasantries. The two-day talks collapsed and sent the negotiating parties on a 15-month break. The failure of the talks came against the backdrop of Iranian frustration with the West for rejecting a May 2010 agreement between the trio of Iran, Brazil, and Turkey for Iranian low-enriched uranium to be swapped with fuel rods on Turkish soil. But that was not the only reason.
استراتژی فشار و مذاکره ایران رو بیاره پای میز مذاکرات اولا و ثانیا اون چیزی که میخواست رو تحمیل بکنه در واقع استراتژیه که آقای بوش داشت در دوره جمهوری خواها این بود که میگفتن که ایران باید غنی‌سازی رو متوقف کنه بعد بیان با ایران مذاکره کنیم اوباما اومد این رو تبدیل کرد به این که نه ما با ایران مذاکره میکنیم همزمان با این که با ایران مذاکره میکنیم از راه افزایش تحریم ها حلقه محاصره رو علیه ایران تنگتر میکنیم این استراتژی به اونجا رسید که مذاکرات استانبول عملا نتیجه بخش نبود
With almost a decade since the Iranian nuclear energy program came into the spotlight, and with the issue still defying a resolution, questions are being raised about the intent of the parleying parties for coming to the talks. Do they really want to resolve the standoff once and for all, or are they negotiating for the sake of negotiating?
In Istanbul 2011, Iran and the P5 plus one really don't agree on anything, and the reason for that was that a P5 plus one was there having the talks for talks' sake. They weren't really serious about the talks with Iran. Iran was not ready to give up its right to nuclear energy. Iran is not ready to do that. Now as we speak, and Iran will never do that. Iran made it quite clear over there that it's not going to give up its rights.
Iranian side is always ready and expressed its readiness to start a negotiation and to go for the negotiation, not just for the sake of negotiations, but to reach a very, as I said, tangible result in the direction of resolving the whole conflict between Iran and the West.
A lot of water went under the bridge during the 15-month halt in the talks, with Iran staying on the receiving end of a volley of accusations and direct threats from the leaders in Europe and the US, and a relentless campaign by the international media that more or less beat the drums of war on Iran. The situation comes to the boiling point on January 11, 2012. Iranian nuclear scientist Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan is assassinated in the early hours of morning on his way to work, the fourth of three others killed before him. The other three were Mas'ud Ali Mohammadi, a physicist killed in January 12, 2010, Majid Shahriari, nuclear engineer assassinated on November 29, 2010, and Daryush Rezai Nejad, an engineering student who was cut short on July 23, 2011. On February 15, 2012, Iran grabbed the headlines once again by announcing it'd place home-built fuel rods into the Tehran Research Reactor under the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency.
توی یک سال نیمه یعنی بین اون استانبول یک و استانبول دو، ایران نه تنها غنی‌سازی 20% رو زیر نظر آژانس بین‌المللی انرژی هسته‌ای آغاز کرد و آژانس هم اینو تایید کرد، بلکه رب به سمت تولید میله سوخت که این خیلی به دلیل اون دقت و ظرافت‌هایی که داره یک تکنولوژی بسیار سطح بالا هست. دیدن که ایران در بهمن ماه سال گذشته، یعنی اگه اشتباه نکنم فوریه، اینو با موفقیت داخل راکتور تهران قرار داد. خب این یه معادله رو دیگه تغییر داد، یعنی دیگه غرب دید که اگه بخواد بیشتر از این هم باز تأخیر بکنه در مذاکرات، ایران که متوقف نکرده کار خودش رو همچنین داره ادامه میده.
After a 15-month hiatus, it was time to talk again. The venue, the Turkish city of Istanbul, dated April 14th, 2012. The talks, according to Catherine Ashton of the P5+1, were constructive and were to continue to another date.
The discussions on the Iranian nuclear issue have been constructive and useful, reflecting the terms and the spirit of our recent exchange of letters with Iran. We have agreed that the non-proliferation treaty forms a key basis for what must be serious engagement to ensure all the obligations under the treaty are met by Iran, while fully respecting Iran's right to the peaceful use of nuclear energy.
The first round of negotiations in Istanbul was some kind of positive and constructive, a little step forward, because both sides agreed on the framework on how to move forward.
Another hindrance to the resolution of Iran's nuclear issue has been the paradoxical remarks of the US and the European members of the P5+1, who have oscillated between calling the talks constructive and recognizing Iran's right to acquire peaceful nuclear energy, and issuing veiled threats, accusing Iran of intending to weaponize, and saying publicly and unequivocally that they want to eventually terminate it.
We expect that subsequent meetings will lead to concrete steps towards a comprehensive, negotiated solution which restores international confidence in the exclusively peaceful nature of the Iranian nuclear program. My ambition is that we come away with the beginnings of the end, if you like, of the nuclear program, nuclear weapons program of Iran.
This is exactly what makes Iranian to be suspicious. Duality in the approaches and even in the language of the Western countries, Americans and 5+1. Iranian are still deeply suspicious of the intentions of the West, United States, the all members of the 5+1.
غرب میخواد که ایران غنی‌سازی اورانیوم رو متوقف کنه، اما در این که افکار عمومی غرب این سوال رو مطرح میکنه که ایران چه اقدامی انجام داده که صلح و امنیت بین‌المللی رو به خطر انداخته، ایران که تمام مراکزش زیر نظر آژانس بین‌المللی هسته‌ای داره فعالیت میکنه، تمام اون استانداردها رو داره اجرا میکنه، چه باید توجیه بشن مردم کشور غربی.
For years, successive leaders in the US and Europe have told their nations Iran is a threat to global peace and security and a nuclear Iran unimaginable. That, coupled with a defamation campaign launched by the mainstream media, mainly funded by the governments of those countries that tried to turn Iran into a pariah state, a rogue nation that wants to destroy the world. But how big a threat is Iran in the eye of the general public in those countries?
I personally feel threatened by Iran developing nuclear power.
Honestly, no, I don't.
At this point, not personally concerned standing here at City Hall in New York City.
No.
Why not?
The threat is ignorance, our ignorance. We're poor, you know, so many things are going wrong with the world. Iran is the least of our real worries, you know. Our banking system's collapsing, countries are collapsing. These are the things that we should really worry about.
Je ne me sens pas menacé par un État comme l'Iran.
Je n'ai pas
oder gehe davon aus, dass der Iran wie alle anderen Gesellschaften also ein Programm durchziehen kann, das der friedlichen Nutzung dient. Und davon gehe ich da auch aus. Und von daher sehe ich da auch keine Gefahr.
Для меня абсолютно никакой угрозы не представляет. И для России никакой угрозы не представляет.
Я думаю, нет. Ну, думаю, что Ирану больше всего интересен мирный атом для того, чтобы у них было электричество для развития экономики.
Then came the talks in Baghdad on May 23, 2012. Iranian and P5 plus one leaders landed in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad, amid a blinding sandstorm and mixed feelings about what was to come out of their dialogue.
In Baghdad, they really agreed to disagree. They didn't achieve anything in Baghdad. Iran came up with its own proposal. The P5 plus one came up with its own proposal, package of proposals, and then they discussed the two packages. They realized that they need to have some expert-level negotiations and meetings between the scientists and experts, as well as the deputies of Lady Ashton and Dr. Jalili. So this is what they agreed in Baghdad.
The P5 plus one came to the Baghdad talks with a set of demands. Iran should stop enriching uranium to 20%, shut down its Fordo nuclear facility, and allow its stock of 20% enriched uranium to be transferred outside of the country. On the other side, Iran made its own five-point demands too. Its right to peaceful nuclear energy to be recognized, for the IAEA to respond in kind to Iran's cooperation with it, for both sides to win each other's confidence, predicate their nuclear cooperation on the NPT, and discuss non-nuclear issues to do with the region. The Iranian side pledged to respond to the demands in the next round of negotiations that would be held in Moscow.
Baghdad negotiations was somehow, maybe we can call it a little disappointing, because the Western side actually didn't carried out the promise that they made, the pledge that they made in the Istanbul conference, but the still Iranian side showed to be flexible, and they said, okay, we can set for another round of negotiation, this time in Moscow.
The world did not think much of the Baghdad meeting, another meeting that would end in an announcement for further talks at another time, or at best, murky comments to journalists about the exchanges between the parties involved. But in the mind of observers, the meeting in Iraq was marked a watershed moment.
In Baghdad, as in jihad, be nazar man muhim bud ke dastur kar mushakhas kard. Khob, hame ra boland shodan raftan dar ejlas ba'di ro tarikh sho mushakhas kard dar Moscow ke bian raje va hame mowzu'at morde ikhtilaf sohbat konan. Moto ye nokte zarif inja bud va un in bud ke in mowzu'at yani 5 ta pishnahad Iran و سه تا پیشنهاد یا بگیم سه فاز پیشنهاد آمریکا یا احتیاج به گفتگو و مذاکرات مفصل داشت، چون اینا خیلی با هم دور بود، یعنی دیدگاه مشترکی نه وجود نداشت در بین اینها، نگاه ها دور بود، لازم بود در سطح کارشناسی و در سطح معاونا بحث بشه. خود اونا هم پذیرفتن، تو بیانیه هم آوردن اینو.
But the P5 plus one after a while did not adhere to what it had agreed upon. And despite Iran's several telephone conversations and letters that the Iranian side sent to the P5 plus one, to Lady Ashton and the other party in the negotiations, they did not really show any interest in doing what was agreed upon in Baghdad. So when they went to Moscow without holding the previously agreed expert-level talks and meetings.
The Moscow meeting was held on schedule on June 18, 2012. In the run-up to the talks, the Iranian delegation was not very upbeat about the outcome, but hinted they would take the next step if the Moscow talks were fruitful.
Moscow در واقع ایران حرفاش رو توضیح داد با پاورپوینت نشست اون مجموعه اسلاید ها نقطه نظراتش رو در دو جنبه توضیح داد. یک، طرح خودش رو تبیین کرد. دو، نقدی که بر پیشنهادهایی که نماینده آمریکا داده بود و در واقع گفته شده بود که این گروه 5 به علاوه 1 اینو قبول دارن. خط اصلی رو آمریکایی‌ها داده بودن. خب ایران هم نقد کرد در اون مذاکرات مسکو اون به اصطلاح پیشنهادهای غرب رو و هم پیشنهاد خودش رو توضیح داد.
They expected Iran to halt the uranium enrichment, which Iran now has the capability, the industrial capability to do that, even beyond 20%. So, of course, Iranians are going to ask, okay, if we do that, what you are ready to offer?
They're telling Iran that if you do what we ask you to do, they will give you spare parts for airplanes, for commercial planes. If you do what we are asking you to do, we'll give you a nuclear fuel for your Tehran research reactor that produces radioisotopes for cancer treatment. Iran says these are part of human rights. Iran says if you give us parts for airplanes, this is not something that you can expect something in return because this is your job to do it.
Despite the P5 Plus One's insistence in Moscow, the Iranian delegation rejected the group's demands made in Baghdad. The Moscow talks also provided an opportunity for the Iranians to explain why the several rounds of U.S.-led UN Security Council sanctions on Iran were illegal.
در جلسه عصر به طور دقیق و بر اساس مفاد اساسنامه آژانس و همینطور بر اساس مفاد منشور ملل متحد غیر قانونی بودن ارجاع موضوع فعالیت‌های هسته‌ای جمهوری اسلامی ایران از شورای حکام آژانس به شورای امنیت و همینطور صدور قطعنامه‌های تحریمی شورای امنیت رو برای طرف مقابل به طور تفصیلی تبیین کردیم.
تو کنفرانس مسکو یا نشست مسکو از این جهت که اون چارچوبی که در بغداد روشن شده بود اینجا اومد به نقد کشیده شد از طرف ایران. هر دو طرف تقریبا صحبت، اما اونها راجع به طرح اینا صحبت که احتیاج داشتن که بیشتر در موردش گفتگو و مذاکره بشه. بنابراین توافق کردن که مذاکرات در سطح کارشناسی تو استانبول انجام بشه.
ایران responded to the elements of the E3 plus 3 proposal put forward in Baghdad. In turn, the E3 plus 3 provided a thorough and comprehensive response to the issues raised by Iran.
ما هم متقابلا نگاه خودمون رو در بحث‌های کارشناسی دنبال خواهیم کرد، بحث خواهیم کرد. امیدواریم که جلسات کارشناسی و به دنبال اون جلسات معاونین جناب آقای دکتر باقری و خانم اشمید بتوانند به نتایج قابل قبولی برسند.
Since the 6 major world powers and Iran stood in direct opposition to each other, the two sides decided for the talks to be held in the technical experts level for the time being, so they can thrash out their differences before they embark on more serious negotiations.
This is a good news that both sides decided not to cut off the contact, say goodbye for good. So that means that still they are optimistic that there could be somehow in the middle of the road an opportunity to take.
Iran says it's done whatever there is to be done for the sake of building confidence in the nature of its nuclear program and that it is pretty much an open book. Iran has had the highest level of cooperation with the IAEA compared to other members of the NPT, and its nuclear facilities have been subject to the most stringent inspections ever.
با این همه اومدن مدعی شدن علیه ایرانی که همه جوره تا حالا بیش از هر کشور دیگه در طول تاریخ آژانس بین‌المللی انرژی هسته‌ای اجازه داده بازرسی بشن. مراکز هسته‌ایش تمام 24 ساعت زیر بازرسی هست و زیر دوربین ها هست و واقعا اینا بهانه جویی دارن میکنن برای اینکه در واقع قدرتمند خودشون تصور میکنن.
The West's approach to Iran over its nuclear program has been one of carrot and stick. The UNSC has adopted 6 resolutions against Iran since 2006, and on January 23, 2012, the European Union agreed to an oil embargo on Iran and freezing the assets of the country's central bank. The new punitive measures were to be enforced in July, but had been expected not to, because they were still in talks with the Iranians. Yes, when July came, so did the punitive measures. An example of the West's worn-out carrot-and-stick policy that has only aggravated the situation.
Sometimes they think that, okay, if we put more pressure on Iran using a threatening language or even increasing sanctions, maybe we can get the results that we want. So that makes them not to be that much serious about negotiations.
اونها دنبال اینن که بیان هی حلقه محاصره رو تنگتر کنن تا شاید بتونن ایران رو به تجدید نظر وادار کنن، در حالی که همونطور که قبلا هم گفتم میتونن با ایران همکاری کنن، فضای مناسبی رو به وجود بیارن. قطعا در فضای مناسب نقاط مشترک بهتر به دست میاد.
But why does the West insist Iran has to scrap its nuclear program?
Well, I can't really speak on that note, you know, being a former Marine. You know,
America claim they're protecting everyone, but they're not really. They're protecting themselves to make money. Like, that's all America cares about, is make money out of everyone else suffering. That's what the recession is. And they're making a hype about all of this nuclear stuff, so they've got more spin for the media, so that they can create a division which makes them more money again.
Les pays comme la France, l'Angleterre, les États-Unis, il faut déjà qu'ils montrent l'exemple et non d'imposer aux autres pays, notamment l'Iran et d'autres, de désarmer alors qu'eux ne le font pas. Par rapport à l'Iran, le gros problème, c'est qu'aujourd'hui, l'Israël a l'arme nucléaire et à un moment donné, l'Iran, elle se sent aussi en danger.
Je pense que ça n'a rien à voir avec l'Atomwaffe, mais avec les gesamten gesellschaftlichen Verhältnissen im Iran. Das heißt, der Westen übt den Druck aus, um die Verhältnisse im Grunde genommen im Iran zu destabilisieren und letztendlich umzukippen.
Правильно, потому что Иран, он производит свою какую-то экономическую программу, он отстаивает свои интересы, Западу это не нравится, так же, как не нравится и...
对，没有证据说伊朗有核武器，但是他却要制止伊朗，我觉得这种做法可能是不太对的，也是没有证据说而制止人家，就好像伊拉 其他国家伊拉克啊那些国家也是，那些战争也是，人家也没有去给人家打人家，最后也没查到。为什么？因为我觉得还是美国的那个霸权主义在起作用。嗯。Transparency
and freedom to inspect have also been among the West's demands of Iran, demands never made of Israel, who neither denies nor admits to possessing nuclear weapons.
And here comes a very big question, a series of questions. How on earth Iranian effort to move towards acquiring a peaceful nuclear technology, Iran as an NPT member, under a very severe, I mean, and very serious inspection by the IAEA, how the activity of such a country could be a threat to international peace and security, but, and here I'm talking about the double standard, but having some 200 nuclear warhead by Israel in this very region, the Middle East, is not a threat and nobody is talking about it.
The conduct of the P5 Plus One and its approach to Iran calls into question its legitimacy as a representative of the international community. All the countries involved in the talks with Iran possess nuclear weapons, and some, including the US, have plans to renovate their aging warheads. And the only country to have used atomic weapons against another nation is the United States. The nuclear bombs dropped on the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War II that killed millions.
Iran says this is paradoxical, this is not something that we can accept. And Iran, part of the negotiations, Iran says it has to be also discussed, why is it that you have nuclear weapons and why is it that you are allowing yourselves even to upgrade your nuclear weapons and use it against other countries while There is no international supervision, no control over your nuclear program.
For almost a decade, Iran has resisted calls for it to halt its nuclear energy program, citing its right to have such technology as a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. And except for China and Russia, the other superpowers, being superpowers, have continually tried to twist Iran's arm into compromising. But that policy seems to have all but failed. Whatever comes next will depend almost entirely on how Western countries will treat Iran, a regional superpower in its own right. And before they decide their next move, both sides will have to explore all avenues leading to a diplomatic solution and avert the point of no return.